Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
You a legend. Oh, yeah, you a legend.
No, man, y'all guys are legends, man.
I've been covering the Warriors since 04, and you literally top five the biggest Warrior killer of all time.
I see that all the time on my Twitter, man. Every time we're about to play the Warriors or after the game, someone right. always tweets that.
In the Oakland, yeah, you either facts, hate it, man, or you beloved. One of the two. They both be like, yo, this dude is nice, or we can't stand this cat, man.
That's the only way you know you're doing something right, man.
Right, right.
Love you or hate you.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C., in Oakland, Marcus Thompson. Marcus, what's up?
What's good, DA?
I would say award winner, but...
Hey, man, don't get me started, man. Don't be handing me awards because, you know, suddenly y'all recognize black people. But I'm not going to do that today. All I'm saying is I've been here. I've been in these streets.
You've been here for a minute. Well, I've been here for 38 years. You know what I'm saying?
Let me not be ungrateful. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I don't want to be ungrateful, but we know what's happening.
Man, let's get to our guest real quick. Man, you know what? He said this. I was watching one of your YouTube videos. Will Barton from the Denver Nuggets, y'all. What's up, man?
What's good?
Man, you said, I've been doing this for 10 years. And I was like, no, there ain't no way Will been in the league for 10 years. I'm like, damn.
You got to think, David, you've been doing it a long time. So, you know, I'm up there now. I know you see him come and go.
So.
You just seen him come and go, but I've been here for a while now.
You the crafty veteran now.
Yeah.
How's it feel to be an old head in the league? Because you know the league is super young. So 10 years is like you a senior citizen. You get like discounts at IHOP.
You know the crazy thing is when I first came to the league, the teams were still based like that. You still had the, you know, the old heads, the veterans. And they kind of like, I want to say at that time when I first came in was still majority of the team. They're still majority of the team. So to see how the league is now, when majority of the team is young, is crazy to me because they've been calling me an old head since I was 28. And I'm looking at them like when I first came to the league, 28 was like your prime.
Right, right, sure.
28 was now your prime.
Like, oh, facts. Yeah, that's definitely prime. 28? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
How does that – man, that's got to completely flip the locker room dynamic on his head, though. Because, like, I know – it used to be you go to the old heads for the wisdom, for the knowledge. How do I survive in this league? How do I make it? And what do you do when there's 9 kids younger than you in the locker room now?
Like I said, it's unique. It's a little different for me because, you know, I'm still one of the main guys on the team. You know, I'm starting. I still play a major role. So it's hard to like always give advice, you know, and be, you know, counting on as a player. Yeah. Like when I came to the league, The guys I went to for advice like that, they kind of already accepted their role. They weren't playing no more. They were 15, 14 years in, and, you know, they weren't playing. Earl Watson, Jared Jeffries. I had vets like that. That, you know, they were kind of just at the end of their career. So those were the guys I kind of talked to about, you know, life and, you know, keeping confidence while I'm not playing. So now when guys come to me and ask me things like that, it's kind of tough because, like, man, I'm still playing major minutes. I still play 30 minutes a game. You know, so it's like
I'm tired.
I'm still. No, it's almost a selfish thing. I'm still like I got to focus on, you know, what I'm doing.
Yeah, on you. Yeah. You know who was talking about that? That's what Draymond went through last year. Now they got Andre Iguodala, right? Yeah. And, you know, and Steph. But last year, they were the oldest dudes on the team and the stars. It was like, yo, that's basically a second job.
No, it is, right. And that's what I was alluding to. Is it kind of puts you in a weird position. It's like I'm one of the oldest dudes on the team, but I'm not that old, and I'm, you know, one of the main guys. So it's like I got to focus on being ready to play these guys, but at the same time, it is my job to still mentor these young guys. So the first two years of it, it was kind of difficult for me and strange, but I'm kind of, you know, getting the hang of it and, you know, growing into it.
Man, does it help when you had to scrap for everything you've gotten, man? I mean, you have worked for all that you've gotten in this league and in this game. And I just wonder, like, you've seen it all. Like, you were coming out the top recruit when you were in high school. Like, you were the one and done, you know, top five recruit. You got all that attention. Then you had to really work your way into the league, work for every contract you got. I just wonder if that kind of perspective helps you when guys come to you and say, yo, I don't understand what's happening to me. I don't understand why I'm not playing. I don't understand why coach is on me. I don't understand anything that's going on or off the court.
Yeah, it definitely helps. Like you said, I've kind of seen almost every role in basketball, even getting all the way up to the NBA besides being, you know, a superstar and an all-star. Like you said, I've been a guy that, you know, came out of high school, highly recruited, a top five player in the country. Only went to school 2 years. Then I seen the other side of getting drafted second round, having to earn even a guaranteed contract, not playing to really not. I always tell kids I didn't skip a step. You know, I got traded to Denver, got my opportunity, became a role player, became a sixth man to a starter. You know, so I tell them, like, I'm one of those guys you can lean on because I didn't skip a step. I know how everyone in this locker room feels besides Nikola Jokic because he's a superstar.
right,
everyone else on the team, I know how it feels to ride the bench.
I got you, yeah.
I know how it feels to get traded. I know how it feels to be a star in your role. I know how it is to be counted on. So I just try to give all the guys a little bit of my knowledge of any role that I ever played in my career.
You know what's funny, DA? Like, Will talking like he Martin on Life, right? I'm trying to figure out, well, what the hell is Jeff Green? Like,
right. Hey, we call Jeff Green Unk.
Right. So
Jeff Green a super OG.
Super OG. When they calling me OG, he's super OG.
Right.
Hey, you know, Will, I remember the year you got drafted. I don't think a lot of people notice. This might be one of the greatest second round stretches of all time. I don't know if people really notice, but if you look, Jay Crowder 34, Draymond 35, Orlando Johnson, Quincy AC 37, Quincy Miller, Chris Middleton 39, and then you 40. I mean, that's some second round talent. What was the draft workouts like?
The draft workouts were, I mean, it was tough. Like you said, we actually had a pretty deep draft. People sleep on that draft, but I remember going into it, some people were calling it weak, but it actually turned out to be a pretty good draft. I mean, starting at the top with, you know, of course, AD, Dane, Brad.
Bradley Beal, yeah.
So we got some superstars out of that, and we got some, like you said, some pretty good role players out of it. You know, Draymond's second rounder, and he has a good chance of maybe one day being a Hall of Famer with his resume and accolades. So I just remember that process, man. I probably had about 16 workouts just because my range was so wide. We didn't know if I was slated to go anywhere from about 18 to the early second round. So it was a long process. A lot of guys that were real good and talented. And, you know, every workout was a dogfight because we are fighting for position, jockeying for position to, you know, get drafted as early as possible.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Dude, why did you let cameras be with you on draft night? I don't understand.
You said, why did I what?
Why did you let cameras stick with you on draft night? That's like the most stressful night of your life.
Hey, PA, look, man, I'm from the hood. I don't know no better. I don't know no better. I've never had no one in my family experience nothing like this. You know, I don't know. I was getting great feedback. I remember the day before the draft. The Bulls had reached out to me and was like, man, I'll never forget this. They had the 29th pick. And I remember they called me and my agent and was like, man, you know, we love Will. If he's at the 29th pick, we're taking him for sure. We don't even think he's going to be there. We might try to move up to get him. So I'm like, cool. And I had some other teams that I knew had high interest in me from about 17 to about that range. So, yeah. I'm going to the draft feeling good. I'm like, man, I can go anywhere probably from about 18, but I know I'm not slipping past the Bulls at 29.
I'm
excited. I'm rocking and rolling. And I'm looking at the picks to get to about 18, 17. So I'm excited. I'm like, okay, you know, I can go to this team. I can go to that team. But I know, you know, it get to that Bulls at 29. I'm like, at least I know that's where I'm going. So it's going. Get to 29, I'm like, here we go. And they called someone else. And I was like, what the fuck? Right?
Who was it?
They drafted Marcus Teague, yep.
Marcus Teague.
Yeah, because Azili was next. Festus Azili went next, and I remember Marcus Teague. Right, yeah, that's right.
Right. Yep. Right. Oh, my God, dude. It was so painful. And then when the camera follows you down the hallway, and I'm like, leave him alone, man. Yeah. Leave him alone.
Hey, it wasn't scripted, baby. It was
right.
That was real reality TV.
Once he got to 29 and I didn't get picked, everything you saw was I had no idea what was happening.
Oh my!
I didn't even know he was following me. I was just so
right. Is that right?
I mean, you got to understand. I was just so messed up in the head. I just walked out the room. Right. I didn't know what was going on.
Dude, I'm Joe Journalism, and I'm saying, leave that boy alone. Yeah. Get that camera off him, man.
Hey, man, it was heartbreaking at the moment, man. I was sick to the stomach.
Oh, man. But shit, it's worked out. Like I said, you've earned that shit. Yeah.
When you look at your career, like especially since you've essentially been in different eras of basketball, now, if you were drafted now, feels like what you do would be more valued. Is that an accurate assessment? Like, you a natural bucket getter.
I think
getter.
About it all the time. Especially the way the game has gone down, it's more positionless. Because at the time when I was coming out, people would, you know, they didn't know, is he a two guard? He doesn't shoot the ball good enough. Because at that time, I didn't really shoot the three well. He's too small for the three. So it was kind of like he's good, but we don't know what position is he. And at that time, when I first came to the league, it was all about position. It was all about potential at your position and those things. So now, oh man, I'd probably be a lottery pick if I came out in this era. Right. But you know, it is what it is.
Man, I've talked to B. Shaw so many times about his time in Denver, and you were there really at the beginning of all of that, man. And I just can't imagine what it's like for you to have seen where they were when you got there and where y'all are now. That has to be, like, it blows my mind because it was as bad as it could be in the NBA. And now y'all are one of the best teams in the NBA. And I just wonder, like, how do you process that, man?
I took a lot of pride in that, man. Like you said, when I first got here, I mean, I used to joke, me and Gary Harris used to joke all the time, I had more people at my draft workout than we had at games. So, you know, to see that turnaround, I mean, it's crazy. And it's something, if you're a competitor, if you're a true competitor, you always want to be a part of something like that. And that's the reason, you know, that was always played a part in my free agency of why I stayed twice. Because I always wanted to see it through and see how far we could actually, you know, take it, especially as long as I'm a main part of the core. So, and to this day, we're still trying to see how far we could take it. I think we're talented enough to compete and win a championship as long as we're healthy. So, it's definitely satisfying, and it has a lot of gratitude just seeing something literally come from the bottom, the bottom, being a joke, no one taking it serious, no one coming to games, and to now, you know, we're a strong contender.
How do you feel about where you guys are now? Because on one hand, it's like, we know you're not a 500 team. Yeah. Like, we've seen the peak of this team. Like, we've seen you be a problem, right? Especially when you get Jamal in there, right? But also, that's kind of impressive to be to be two games over 500 at this point, considering what y'all have been through, right? Like, how do you guys view it in the locker room?
You know, we're competitive, so we know we're better than a two games over 500 team. And we still have a lot of good talent, so we're never satisfied. But at the same time, we have conversations. I know me and Aaron Gordon have conversations about, you know, it's just a weird season. You know, we came into it knowing Jamal wasn't going to be there. Then Mike goes down, what, the first month of the season. You never know who's playing because of COVID. So it's like it's a weird season. And for us to still be where we're at, you know, it is a testament of our hard work. And you got to understand, we haven't even, out of all the teams in that playoff hunt right now, we haven't even really put together a long winning streak. So we just keep telling ourselves, all we got to do is keep weathering the storm. And we go on one of those win streaks that we usually do. You know, we're a top three, top four seed if we can pull that together. Because, like I said, I don't even think this season we've won over four games in a row. We win one, lose one. Win two, lose one.
Five straight is your longest winning streak.
Yeah, and that was earlier.
But that was early.
Season. Exactly.
Yeah, that was early.
So it's like, you know, I just keep trying to tell the guys, hey, man, let's just keep competing. You know, we're undermanned. It's a weird season. But let's just keep competing. Try to put a long string of wins together. And boom, now we go from a six seed to maybe a 3-4. We're right in that mix. So we just try to stay positive no matter what. We're going to keep fighting.
What is it like to, during this last stretch, where there's literally dudes walking in the locker room saying, hey, I play for y'all now. And you don't know. I mean, they just came literally off the street, wherever, you know, like, what is that? I mean, how do you try to even plan any chemistry or anything? How do you play with a guy you've never played with before?
It's like you said, it's crazy. It's crazy. Sometimes coming in the shoot around, you might got four or five guys that you not only you never met, I've never even seen play. Like, period. I have no idea who this guy is, what he does, or nothing. But at the same time, I'm grateful and thankful for those guys because they're kind of saving the season right now. And most of the guys that come up are real good dudes, man, and they're just trying to come in and do their job and help the team no matter, you know, what their role is. And I can always respect that. Like you said, I mean, I come from the trenches. I've seen the bottoms of the bottoms and lows of the lows and just keep climbing. So I have empathy for those guys, and I wish them the best and with their career and in life, period. So very grateful for those guys, man, definitely. But it's definitely tough on the court, like you said, with no chemistry. And some of these guys might literally be in rotation that night. So it's like, it's tough.
Do you look at Bones like, yo, this is a guy after my own heart right here? This dude.
Listen, you know, I knew Bones since he was in high school, though. So,
word.
You know, Bones came to my camp in, like, when he was in either 10th, I want to say 10th grade or 11th grade when I first met Bones. Then I have my youth basketball team that plays on the Under Armour circuit for AU, which is the same circuit he played on. So I've been knowing Bones. We actually been in contact. We've had each other. We've talked since he's literally been in high school. Like, before he committed to VCU, we've had conversations. He always looked up to me as a big brother and a mentor. And obviously, we have a lot of similarities in our game and things like that. So it was just crazy. Once he got drafted, I was like, oh, we got a hooper, a real hooper. And another guy I like because his background story is similar to mine. I know he comes from, you know, the trenches. I know he comes from the inner city.
Out the mud.
Yeah, he literally got out the mud. I mean, he's been through some stuff. So it's always, you know, love and respect between us two.
Man, what?
He's got the coldest nickname in the game, too.
Bone?
Like, that's unbelievable. Yeah,
that's crazy, bro.
You can't be soft with a name like Bone.
No. No sense.
Man, you mentioned, I mean, look, I'm from D.C. You came from Baltimore. Similar, I think, similar types of cities in terms of, you know, it's very hard to come from, to get out of certain circumstances that you're in. And I wonder what grinding on a daily basis was like for you as a young man, knowing you had talent, knowing you had skill, and knowing that, you know, I have a chance, you know, if things go right. And just kind of like, who helped guide you through those years? Who helped guide you to get to the point where you could get to Memphis? And then, you know, everybody sees it. Everybody, it's obvious once you get to high school and once you get to college.
Man, I tell people all the time, D.A., really, I'm just blessed, man. Well, when I think about it, just to even have a vision and a dream. I tell people all the time, the neighborhoods I grew up in, man, is drug dealers, killers, like literally. Like one of my high school coaches will tell you, when he came to pick me up, it was like it was something he never seen before. And my love for basketball, and I always thinking that I was going to the NBA. Now when I like think back on it, is the reason I never thought I was in such a bad place, because I was always thinking about my future in basketball. But when I really think about it, I was no different from that kid that's living next door to me that's selling drugs. The only difference was God blessed me with a vision, not just a talent, but with a vision, because we all got talent. But if you don't have a vision and you can't dream it and you don't have no hope, then, you know, when it, coming from our environments, you know what's next for you. And that's what I take pride in, man. Not just the talent, but just having a passion and a dream and a vision for something that, you know, just kept me away from where I really was. Like, where I grew up at was bad as hell, but I never even thought about it that way because I was too focused on basketball. Like, I was always just playing basketball. And most of the time, you know, people respected what I was doing and just let me be. Right. But everything was right there. Like I said, it's people that I was close friends with, dead, murderers in jail, all kinds of stuff. So it's like, I just was blessed with hope, basically. And they didn't have none. And, you know, where we come from, if you don't have no hope, it's over with for you.
Right.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
It's wild how that's like a story across USA. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the same. That's the story of East Oakland, story of DC, right?
Absolutely. Chicago. And it's weird because I don't know where my hope came from either.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's just a blessing, man. I'm telling you, it comes from nowhere. Like I said, I'm no different from that kid that was living next door to me or that I was going to school with or that I was hanging with. I don't even know where it came from. I tell people that all the time. It's just a blessing, man.
Yeah. I like how, you know, like you are, you know, still connected with your community, you know. I think you link with Ed Reed, you know, doing work in the community, yeah. You know, obviously Carmelo. What's Baltimore like after what it's been through, after what this nation has been through, and how important is it for guys like you to keep that flag planted at home?
Man, to be honest with you, I think it might be worse. It might be worse. I know murders is at an all-time high. You know, drugs is at an all-time high. Cause like I said, they saying now you're saying so much stuff. It's so graphic now where they're not even hiding some of the stuff. They're not even hiding racism. They're not even hiding deaths. So it's like kids growing up in the earth, they like they don't even give a fuck. It's like, what am I, you know, what is my purpose to try to do right? It's almost like they don't care. So that's why anytime I can go home and give them any kind of hope, I try to do it, because you got to look at when you come from the inner city, right? Most of the time you see success, what? On a TV. That right. Shit don't seem real to you. The only other success you see is a drug dealer or something. So that's what you...
Yeah, it's the criminal stuff.
That's what
yeah.
you don't want to be.
That's what's in front of you.
That's what's
right?
in front of you. So anytime I come home, it's not even about camps or about... anything, my backpack giveaways or things I do of that nature, the money I spend, really the time. When I go home sometimes, I just kick it with yeah. kids in their hood, and they'll tell you, I pull up and just chill with them and talk to them and just let them know that this shit is real, that it is attainable, because I know they feel like it's fake because they only seeing it on TV.
Was Carmelo somebody that gave you that kind of like lifeline? Like, he did it. He got out. I can do the same thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Anytime you see, you know, he was a huge star, especially once he did what he did at Syracuse, that one and done shit.
Right.
And won it all. I mean, I think I would be a lie to say every kid in Baltimore didn't want to be Melo. He gave us all hope, especially if you were a basketball player, athlete, because we knew where he came from. I mean, it ain't no secret he came from the trenches just like me. So, When I seen that happen, I was like, okay, if I do things, if I do it the right way, I can do this. So he definitely, you know, was one of those flagships for us.
Do B More guys hate The Wire, or do y'all like that the show put y'all on the map?
I mean, I like the show, period. I mean, the show, it's just a good show. I mean, I wouldn't say we hate it. We probably hate that anytime we're out of town, so that's the first thing I'm actual about. But I mean, the show is real. We lived it, so I mean, some of it is not even as graphic as real life is. But no, we don't hate it. We love the show. It was a great show. We're proud to have one of the greatest shows ever. You know, be based on, you know, our city. But like I said, the only thing we hate is that anytime I go somewhere to this day, if someone don't know me and I'm out of town, and they know I'm from Baltimore, the first thing they say, damn, man, is The Wire real? Like, they just want to know.
That's what I've been thinking. Oh.
Yeah, he's so intrigued by his phrase.
Right. Man, hey, I wanted to ask you about playing with Jokic, because, look, everybody's a genius after somebody becomes a superstar. Ain't no way in hell nobody thought this guy was going to become a superstar. When did you see something in him that made you go, oh shit.
You know, the crazy thing, he had another one. He really never skipped any steps. Like, he got drafted late. I remember seeing him for the first time in summer league, because I had my brother playing on our summer league team. So I went down there and checked him out. And I seen him playing summer league, and they was telling me he was one of the guys that was coming over for the season. And you know, at first, you know, he was kind of out of shape. His body didn't look the best. So you kind of looking at him like, you know, what does he really do? I seen him play a little bit. I seen he had a little skill. I'm like, he all right. But I mean, I didn't think nothing of him. And then we got to training camp. It was like, you know, he can play a little bit. I still don't, you know, it was like a progress. Like, I still didn't know how good he was. Then all our bigs got hurt and he was forced to play.
Right.
And from the first game, you just seen him. I think he had like close to a triple double. And I was like, damn, he might be all right. And he kept doing it game after game after game. And I was like, this motherfucker might be a starter in the league. And he came back the second year, he started. And then I was like, he might be an all-star. Right? And then right? He was an all-star. And I was like, he might be, you know, the best player in the league. And I think he's right there in that category where, you know, you can't mention five players and not mention, you know, Yoke.
No.
Yo, you a guy who, like, when you get rolling, it's curtains, right? Like, you know the feeling of, all right, I'm on, it's over. Yeah. What is it like watching this dude? I promise you, sometimes this dude does not touch the rim.
That is crazy.
Like, he'll have five people in front of him, and it's like he's shooting this weird. He shoot like he is a 75-year-old dude playing with his grandkids. That old school over-the-head shot, and that joker do not touch the rim. No. It's got to be wild in person.
No, listen, man. He probably got the best touch that I've ever seen up close and personal. I mean, he make floaters, runners, like you said, jumper barely when he shoots it, really don't touch rim. And when he gets rolling, he gets rolling. And to see, like, him in the league, I mean, he's one of the best bigs, like I said, I've ever seen. Probably him and B, Cousins, LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, AD, they probably the best bigs that, you know, I've played against or played with, so it's just crazy. It's crazy.
I never seen a big man make passes like this dude. This dude is unbelievable.
No, he's different. His passing is crazy. His passing is crazy. I mean, vision, like,
I don't even know what he's looking at. And
sometimes, you know, like, I ain't gonna lie, sometimes he throw you open. Like, he almost like a quarterback.
Right?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers out here, huh?
Right? That's unbelievable. Man, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Hey, can we claim you on the West? You done been in Portland, Denver. You ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, you one of us. You a West Sider now, right? You like pop started. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I'm from the East Side for life, but you know.
No, you love the West, though.
Tell him. Tell him, bro.
I definitely got love for y'all.
Nah,
West,
hey, you turned out on the West. We got
tell
you.
Tell him. 410. Cool, tell him.
Yeah, no, it's 4-1-0 for life. You know that, DA. You know that. I can never go against that.
Hell no.
It's cool. I know where you're going to spend the rest of your days.
In Miami?
Right?
Facts. Facts.
I ain't mad at you,
yeah,
dude.
Facts, yeah. Smart move, right?
I am not mad at you, cuz.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Man, so look, let me get you out on this. I always like, people always ask me, like, who's the bucket in the league? Who's the bucket getter in the league? And you always at the top of the list. I got some other guys that I have at the top of the list. I want to hear your bucket getter list. Who are the guys, besides yourself now, who's just a bucket in this league?
Man, number one, I gotta go with Kyrie.
Yeah.
I think Kyrie, I think him, I don't even think he gets enough credit for really
he's unguardable.
For how good he is.
He's unguardable.
I tell people that all the time, D.A.
He's unguardable.
Because you don't play in the NBA, but you're a part of our culture. I mean, you've come to the game so long that your knowledge is crazy. But when you tell people that's not a part of this, that they kind of look at me crazy. Like, I tell people, like, Kyrie, throw away accolades, resume. I say, if you just roll the ball out there, and I ain't talking about no systems or nothing like that. We just hooping.
Yeah.
Might be the most talented point guard I've ever seen. just
nuts.
It's different.
You can't.
But I was.
You know, it's crazy. It's all improv. Like it's all free. He like a freestyle rapper out there.
I'm
like,
telling
it's
you,
crazy.
No weaknesses in his offensive game. None. None.
None.
None.
I agree.
I would say him though. I would say him.
Yeah.
KD, of course. I mean, right. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. I'm trying to go somewhere where you know it's not as mainstream. I'm trying to think.
To me, a guy that doesn't get the attention is Terrence Ross. That dude is a straight up bucket.
Ross came out of high school together too. So, yeah,
dude, yeah,
T. Ross definitely is one of them guys. He heat up quick too.
Oh Lord!
And when he hot, it's over. Yeah,
it's over with.
That dude, I'm trying to think.
Hey, but Will, you know what it is though, right? That's kind of a lost art. Like everybody's shooting threes, and the game is so regimented. Like even with all the space, you don't have a lot of guys who could just like, yo, I'm about to go get a bucket.
Nah.
That's a kind of a lost art.
It is. But I feel like those are the teams that are winning the championships. They got guys that can get buckets. I even tell people when the Raptors won it that year. I mean, obviously KD went down, but if you look at that team. Kawhi gets a lot of credit for it, as he should, but, I mean, Van Fleet was getting buckets in that series.
He made everything.
It was crazy. Lowry was getting buckets. Pascal Siakam was getting buckets. So I think in today's league, if you don't have multiple guys that can even make plays or get buckets, you're going to come up short. Unless, I mean, it's just a year with a lot of injuries. But if healthy... You got to have multiple bucket getters. I mean, even look at the team, Utah. They got multiple guys that can just fill it up. Yeah. Mike, Donovan, Mike. Clarkson, Bogey. I mean, you got to have multiple guards that can just go out there and get a bucket, man, because it puts so much pressure on the defense.
Right.
Yeah, well, Bones gonna be one of them dudes. Watch.
Definitely.
Oh, dude,
Bones gonna be Bones, bro.
Listen,
like, crazy.
He one of them ones. Once he get more experience, I mean – it's going to be curtains for a lot of people. Bones special, man.
Yeah, no.
He got it now. Like, he just
no, he do,
got
but
it now.
I'm saying it's going to be on a higher level, you know.
Oh,
right,
yeah, no
right
question.
Now,
yeah, once
up,
he gets
it's up and down, you know, rookie year. But when he really learns this game, the nuances of it,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to guard him.
Yeah.
Dude. You getting tired yet? Your back hurting yet? You getting grays?
I got one gray hair, man. You can't see it right now because I didn't grow it out. I seen a couple of gray hairs. I was telling my homeboys, I said, yeah, man, they always told me it would go fast. I ain't believe them.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming, bro.
Hey, you about to put in a good 82, too. A good 82 and like 30 plus a game. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that I
you
tell
stretching
you
and
time,
everything
that,
now, huh?
That'll hurt you, man. The mark we is playing 30 minutes and playing the whole season, that's a lot of wear and tear on your body.
What's crazy is that's what you like. Remember when you were in Portland and it was like, yo, man, like, you just like, can I get some more run?
Let me
you
go.
Come in,
let
get
me
a few
play.
Buckets yeah.
Look,
and
sit
down.
You couldn't wait for it. Yeah.
That's funny. Now you're like, hey, I need a practice day off, man. You stretching.
Can't wait for it. Yeah.
it go by fast, bro. Yeah. It go by fast.
It's
really OG now.
It done.
It's really good. Well, man, thank you so much for joining us, bro. I mean, I love talking to guys that have earned it, the guys that have worked their way up and worked through it. And like you said, didn't skip any steps, man. And you did it all, did it the right way. And, man, best of luck to you. Just stay safe out here, man. This, as you know, this thing is crazy out here right now.
Yes, sir.
Hey, when you done, you're going to come to Oakland and they're going to be like, man, I hated you.
Hey.
Like, you was all.
They might not let me in the city, man.
No, when you done, that's what I said. When you done. Now.
When you
done, when you done, they're going to be like, man, remember that dude? He used to destroy.
He going to get that honorary pass, Marcus.
Oh, yeah. They're going to give him a free. You don't give him a free cut, you know what I'm saying? Come on, sit down.
Sit in the good chair,
appreciate
too. You're not in the second chair. You be in the good chair.
Nah, get on over here. I can't stand you.
Crazy,
man. Thank you, man. Thank you.
I appreciate you, bro. Thanks for coming through.
Yo, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate you guys, man.
Of course, man.
Ice up, baby. Get the ointments. You got a long ride ahead of you,
man. We got one tomorrow. Look, you see, I'm still in the gym right now.
Yeah. Right. Hey, then you got the playoffs. It's going down this year. Lord, you better be ready.
Right. Two more months, man. Going down, man.
Lord. All right, dude. Stay safe, bro.
All right, now.
All right. Man, that was great.
Oh, geez, be the best, dude. The real ones be the best.
Oh, yeah. Man, I hate it.
Be the absolute best, yeah.
No, I love
that. That's great.
Love that cat. Thank y'all for listening. As always, leave that 5-star review on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you hear this fine, fine American broadcast. Marcus, if it's less than 5 stars, what them people need to do?
They need to keep that hating to themselves.
Right?
Haters.
Right? Award givers.
Later, it's good to know I'm good.
You're good. You've been validated.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.